And please turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 35:18. We went back in time last week where God was saying to Zedekiah, judgment's coming. You know, the Babylonians are going to come. And then we saw last week that then God turns the clock back using Jeremiah and saying, why am I bringing judgment? Well, look at, I commanded you to obey me and you don't. But look at the Rechabites. Their great, great, great grandfather told them, I don't want you drinking. I don't want you building houses. I want you to be nomads. And for 250 years, they listened to that grandfather. And you Jews, you don't listen to your God. You don't listen to the Creator. So that's one reason why judgment's coming, because you don't listen. And then we're going to see today, he goes, and not only do you not listen, you don't even when I tell my prophets to write it down, perhaps then they'll repent. If Jeremiah, write it down. I've already told you to tell them they wanted to kill you, you know, earlier on. 4 years earlier. They wanted to kill you when I told you to tell them. Now I want you to write it down. Perhaps when they see it written down, they'll repent. And so we see a God of the Bible who is always begging, pleading with the unbelievers, whether they're his people or otherwise, just repent. Just stop it. Just stop fighting me. Do what I tell you. Don't do what Satan tells you to do. And just do what I tell you to do. And so 35:18, we finished with this last week. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, the people who were doing what their great-great-great-grandfather said in obedience to him, they weren't even Jews. They liked the Jews. They go back to the Moses and Jethro and the, family. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. So in other words, his family line is not going to be totally wiped out. And we mentioned last week that the Druze in the area, the nomadic Druze, are offspring of those days. So they have been preserved by God in fulfillment of what he promised. So going to chapter 36, now Jeremiah is going back in time to 605 BC to give the second reason why judgment is certain. Number one, they refused to listen to God. Two, cutting up the scroll. This is 19 years before the destruction of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, and the chronology of this really goes back to Jeremiah 25, and people say, well, why is this out of chronology? And God is saving this for the reason why he's bringing judgment. You didn't listen, and you didn't want to read what, you know, I sent you this warning two different ways. Take a scroll, verse 2, of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. So where did Jeremiah's book come from? When we read Jeremiah, where did it come from? God. God dictates the prophetic word. So when you're listening to people, some scholars will say, well, you know, Mark borrowed this from Peter, and this prophet's copying this prophet. Is that true? It's God speaking to them what to write. We got to keep it out of our mind that these are humans reading a book, and okay, I'm going to add that, and I'm going to put that in my book. You know, I'll give credit where credit's due. It all starts with God giving his word to his prophets. You know, God used the hands of the prophets and apostles to write the things that we have in the Bible. And he says, verse 3, the motivation for now writing it down for them is, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sin. So what is the thing what precedes forgiveness in God's economy throughout the scripture? What precedes God's forgiveness? Repentance. We cannot emphasize this every time. We must tell people, you got to stop your bad attitude towards God. You've got to stop thinking that you run your life. God created you. You owe your life to him. He so loved you, he sent Jesus to die on the cross. You can't any longer take of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, deciding yourself what's good and evil. You have to agree with God that what he says is good and what he says is evil is evil. And if you don't do that, you're not going to be saved. Because that's what the Jews are doing. Oh yeah, we do sacrifices, God. We still do this. We still observe Sabbath. We eat kosher. And isn't that okay? No. It's not okay because you also worship Molech. You also sacrifice your children. You do this. You do this. No. You have to stop fighting me. But the Jews refuse to repent. And what does that bring? Judgment. Does God just bring judgment the first time something happens? No. He warns and warns and warns and warns and warns. And when the last warning is like, okay, it's over with, and judgment's going to come. Verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch, the song, the Hebrew song that we sing, Baruch HaShem Yeshua HaMashiach. What does that mean? Blessed be the name of Jesus the Messiah. So Baruch is blessed. So that's a good way to remember what Baruch means. His name was blessed. And Baruch, the scribe, wrote on a scroll of the book at the instruction of Jeremiah, who was being instructed by God, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. So it doesn't say he's in jail locked up. It's just saying, I'm restrained from going into the house of the Lord. Why? Because a year earlier, he had told them what was going to happen, and they wanted to kill him. And he had to be hidden away. And so now he goes, if I take the scroll and it's written down and I go in, they're going to take me. So God is restraining me. I'm not going to go. Baruch, you go. And we'll see that that's what they would have done is killed him. And you can see, the time that Jeremiah spoke to them and they wanted to kill him in Jeremiah 26. We covered that back then. So he says, you go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord. In the hearing of the people in the Lord's house, I want you to go right into the temple area. On the day of fasting, so everybody's gathering for fasting. Why? Because bad things are happening because Babylon's coming. Well, let's fast. And you shall, and this is in the ninth month, and you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who came from their cities. So, and basically God's telling them this. You're going to go to Jerusalem. A fast has been called. A bunch of people are going to be in Jerusalem during the fast. And you get up and you read it to everybody. So this is the people are hearing. And as a result of the people hearing, they go, we should get the princes, the royal family, the politicians should hear what Jeremiah the prophet has said to us. Then they hear and they go, oh, the king needs to hear what's being said. And what does the king do? He cuts up the scroll, we're going to see. And so it says, you go therefore and do it in the hearing of all the people. Tell them the warnings of God. It may be, once again reporting, it may be that they will present their supplications before the Lord and everyone will turn from his evil way. So while they're going and because they're fasting, they're going, Babylon has come. Jeremiah has been right for these 20 plus years, 30 years, warning us. Here they are. They're coming. They've already taken one group of people away. And so we'll bring our supplications and then Jeremiah is saying, well, maybe now, because what I told them for decades is now happening, maybe now they'll go, we need to listen to the word of God. Maybe they'll turn from their evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. Why don't people do that, though? Do you know people that have completely destroyed their lives by disobeying God? And have you told them, God tells you that if you do these things, you're going to destroy your life. And you're estranging yourself from God. Yeah, I think I'm going to keep doing this, the things that destroy my life instead of repenting. Because to repent, they have to say, that means I'm giving control of my life to God. What's wrong with that story? He created us. And the devil's right there saying, you won't be having fun anymore. You won't be chasing that. You know, you're not going to be that greyhound anymore. Isn't it fun when you're running around trying to chase the ever-elusive fun time in life? And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded, verse 8, commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month they had proclaimed a fast, which is what we've been reading about, before the Lord, to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. So, and they're coming there for safety, and they're coming there for a fast that the king has called because we're in trouble because Babylon came, took Daniel and hundreds of other royal family out and turned them into eunuchs and sent them off into Babylon, and he's threatening to come back and take care of the rest of us. If we don't do what he tells us to do, we need to fast and get God's favor again so that we can keep living like sinners, is really what they're doing. Then Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the upper court. So this is the area where the scribes are keeping the scrolls of all the other writings in history, and he's reading this to the elites, and the non-elites of the people, the elites of the people, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the hearing of all the people. Then Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book. He then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were sitting, all the politicians. Wouldn't it, you know, what would happen if today there was truly a modern prophet like Jeremiah, and he's reading to all the people in D.C., and then somebody goes, one guy goes to the House, one guy goes to the Senate, and says, you guys need to hear this, because Jeremiah is talking about the total destruction of our country if we don't repent. And so then the House and Senate empty out to go listen to Baruch read the words of Jeremiah. So Elishama the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hanani, and all the princes, then Micah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. That, you know, as best as he could remember, Jeremiah is not... He's not saying that our better days are ahead of us. He's warning us with all this stuff. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, to Baruch, saying, take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. So imagine joint session of Congress is called, and Jeremiah, through Baruch, is now authorized to speak to the political elites of the country. And they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king all of all these words. And as wicked as the king is, I'm not so sure as we can make the analogy today, because he's probably not as bad as who's there now. Imagine then the Congress going and saying, we got to tell the president. Yeah, this is really literally kind of what's happening. And, you know, so the people are hearing and they go, oh, you princes better hear. Oh, and really, in a sense, you know what he's saying? It would be the equivalent of, you know, God has watched the United States. It's watched the United States go from a country that feared him, was a witness people, a light on a hill, to the rest of the world. And yet you have gone after sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You have excluded my son from your education and your media. You lie and live on lies and destruction. And you know what? You've antagonized the Russians to the point where they have a bunch of nuclear submarines on your east coast ready to nuke you, and they have a bunch of submarines on your west coast to nuke you off the map, and which is a fact right now. We now know they are on our coast because of what's going on with the Ukraine-Russia-NATO thing. And God is going to let them actually do that, and you are going to be a cinder block when it's all over, unless you repent. I mean, this would be the exact same scenario as what the Jews were hearing and the elites were hearing. And what's the, and I'll just add, for them, for the Jews, is the track record 100% that prophets of God always tell the truth because God is a truth teller? They've got it like, and he's always right. Jeremiah has been right with everything we've said. He's lying. And all the prophets before him, all the prophets that warned that the northern 10 tribes are going to be wiped out by Assyria, did that happen? Yes. And did they ignore the warnings of the prophet of, you know, the prophets that were warning them about Assyria? They ignored them and they were destroyed and carried off into the nations of the Assyrian Empire. There would be a strong impetus for them to want to respond. But Satan has his people. Verse 15. And they said to him, sit down and read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words? At his, now who's his? Jeremiah's. And really, what are they saying? At his, God's. At his instruction. So Baruch answered them, he proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princess said to Baruch, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are, because Biden's going to get you. That's technically, because they knew the king's a demoniac. They know he's a completely godless, puffed up, self-inflating, just totally ignorant and shutting his ears to the word of God. And he will kill anybody that tries to tell him the truth. 36:20. And they went to the king, into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishma, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So, and it's possible that they stored it to keep it away from the king, because they know this is a holy writing from God. And so we're just going to go tell him what Jeremiah was saying through Baruch, and we've stored the scroll away. So the king sent Jehudi, to bring the scroll. No, you're not going to hide it from me. And he took it from Elishma, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. So some of the Senate house guys went to be in with the king when he's hearing about it. And now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, December, with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. So it's not just the king, it's these princes that were like, yeah, king, you know, that we're not going to believe this because when you die, we're going to be kings and Babylon's not going to come and God's not going to let this happen. And so they were not afraid. Do you think, well, look at what people have done with the Bible. As I mentioned last Super Bowl, there were churches across America, mega churches, that were having Super Bowl events, I mean thousands of people there, and they started the Super Bowl event after church, whatever church they had, by kicking Bibles. They had a guy hold a Bible on the tip like it's a ball, and then the pastors would kick the Bible to kick off Super Bowl Sunday festivities in the church. And so God watched that. This is the American church doing this. And I, when I saw that, I couldn't even believe it. There's no fear, and there's thousands of people that are playing church that didn't do anything about it. They're cheering it. And it wasn't just one church. It was like there was a concerted plan to do this. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Dahlia and Gemariah implored the king not to bring home. Don't, King, do not kick the Bible. Do not burn the very word of God, the original draft of God's words given to Jeremiah through the scribe Baruch. You are offending the God of the universe. But he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, this king's son, Shariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. So the king's son is like, I'm all in with daddy. Do we see that when you get to the elites, the deceived by Satan elites in the world today, their children are just as deceived and just as corrupt, and right there with dear old daddy or mommy corrupting the country with the demonic leadership that's in play? It's history. It's what happens when a country turns away from God. So they were going to go kill Jeremiah and Baruch, and God hides them away. Let's turn to Revelation 3:1. So has the world had a problem repenting in their sins against God and therefore receiving God's blessing instead of cursing since this time? You know, the Jews did get destroyed by the Babylonians. They came again. Mankind, the history of the Bible is men really know how to sin and rebel against God, ignore all of his warnings to men, to thumb their noses at God. You can't make me. In fact, we were having a talk about, in the school of ministry, one of the pastors was talking about they're disciplining their child, and I'm telling you to sit down. No, I'm not going to. So then they take the belt off like they're going to discipline, and they sit down. And then the kid says, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm standing up. Is that repentant? Did he repent when he sat down? No. He sat down because, okay, I don't want to take that punishment. But God wants us to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm rebelling against you, and you're my authority. And what God just wants is, I'm God. I created all this. I want you to love one another. All my laws are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which you should do since I created you. And I want you to love each other as you love yourself. I want you to love one another. That means you're not going to commit adultery against each other. You're not going to steal from one another. You're not going to murder each other. You're not going to, you know, lip off to your parents and, you know, treat them like they're like garbage. You're going to obey your father and mother. You're going to do these things because that's love, and that's me, and that's what heaven's going to be. And you can't come into heaven unless you submit, unless you repent of rebelling against those things so that I can take over your heart and you can love it so much you're going to be that way in heaven on your own. And look at what God says to the churches. Revelation 3 is God is talking to churches in the last day. What's he asking them to do? Repent. And these are different church histories. This is, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, which is the dead church. You know, it's declared the dead church because he says, you think you're alive. Right, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. New life. you have a new life, that you're alive. But you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So, what was the king doing? I want to cut that scroll. I don't want to know what's coming. You know, what's Jeremiah saying? This is what's going to come if you live in rebellion. And so what is it to not watch? What was their problem? They won't watch. If you're not watching, you're dead. You say you're alive. You say you're alive, church, but you're not watching the prophetic word of God. You don't care about what God says. Therefore, you become a dead church. And here's, you know what, this is not surprising to people that have been watching. What's the right-hand man to the Antichrist? What's his name? The false prophet. Who have people been teaching for decades will be the false prophet? The Pope. But people said, no, that's a Catholic church. They're a Christian denomination. The Catholic Church is a Christian denomination. And look, they're against abortion. They're against this. They say you have to be a Catholic. They couldn't possibly be the originators of a global religious system because they have their dogma and their dogma does not tolerate those that don't believe that. Is that the way it is today? You know what the Pope said this week? Pope Francis to children in Singapore. All religions are paths to reach God. They are, to make a comparison, like different languages, different dialects, to get there. But God is God for everyone. If you start to fight saying, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will this lead us? There is only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christians. They are different ways to God. That's completely contrary to Catholic dogma. Completely, it's heresy to Catholic dogma. But see what's happened? See, Satan gets hold of an organization that was already heresy because they worship Mary and all this other stuff anyway. And they have the appearance of being somewhat orthodox. And now he morphs them. He morphs them over so that... Do you realize Israel's ready to prove to us we're in the last of the last days? The coming global financial collapse is leading us to believe that we're in the last days. The technology that allows global digital currency is proving that we're in the last days. And now we got the Pope this week being one of the final pieces to the puzzle. He is ready to become the global kingdom of the global religion, the head of the global religion. He's ready to become, or his successor, to become the false prophet of the Antichrist. Just like God's word says. Everything's morphed. The whole world is going into this all roads lead to heaven stuff. And notice, if you say my religion is right, do we say that our religion is right? Not really, because we're not religious, as I emphasized on Sunday. We do say, you know, the God of the Bible, who says he wants to have a relationship with us, we say that he is right. And the only way to have a relationship with him is through his biblical son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with him, you'll be forever banished from his presence. And so the Pope wants to kill us for saying that because we're flying the ointment. That's not very getting along with people. And yet it's the truth. And that's why they killed all the apostles except for John. That's why they wanted to kill Paul. As he was traveling around spreading the word of the new covenant. And that's why if we're around before the rapture that the persecution will come because we say we're, as far as they're concerned, we're bigoted. But we're not bigoted. We don't say we're right. We're saying God's right. And the reason we know he's right is because of all the things we're saying today. He always is right what he writes down, even when it's thousands of years before and it's coming true in our day. It's like, don't you get it? This is the truth. Go to 3:19. Go to the Laodicean church. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And Laodicean is, you know, we don't need anything. We don't need God. We're warm and filled. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So he tells them, repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You've got to repent. If you open the door by repenting, let me come into your church. Then I will come into you and sup with you and you with me. He who overcomes, verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. If you don't overcome, guess what? Don't get to go to heaven. Revelation 9:20, that's a rebuke to the church. Some of the churches, the judgment on the apostate churches, I'm going to throw you into the tribulation. But you know what God says to the church Philadelphia that didn't deny his name and kept his word? The ones that didn't want to cut the Bible up, didn't want to kick it across the stage. Because you didn't deny my name, Jesus is the only way to be saved, and you've kept my word, you didn't kick it, then I will save you from the hour to test the whole world. The world's about to be tested. God promised the people that want to just believe Jesus, want to keep his word, we get, because we have a sincere belief in Jesus, because we've truly repented, then we get to go be with him. And then, two more Revelation 9:20. This is the trumpet judgments that are coming on the earth. The, time like the world has never seen, tribulation. But the rest of mankind, they've already gone through major cataclysms, asteroids that are hitting the earth, trees burning up, seas dying off. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. There are people getting into demon worship today. Idols of gold and silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. We talked about idols on Sunday. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, drug use, or their sexual immorality, LGBT, till the second coming. I mean, what this is telling us is all the way through the tribulation, as God ramps up the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, that some people are repenting, we know from scriptures, because a great multitude come out. But most of the people that are alive after over half of the world's population has died are still saying, hey, you know, who cares? Pass the joint. And let's do LGBTQ until we beat God. And thefts. What's the World Economic Forum promising us? You will own nothing and be happy, because why? They took everything. Thefts. And then we'll close with Revelation 16:8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire, the bowl of wrath. Now this is the bowl of wrath, fourth of seven. And men were scorched with great heat. There is going to be global warming. It's going to be man-caused because of sin. And you know what's going to be the source of global warming? It's not because we, you know, the cows were farting and we were breathing. It's going to be because the sun lights off. And you know what? We're having the greatest solar flare season in decades. And it's going to, in the tribulation period, it's going to really light off, according to the Bible. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, which is the Antichrist. You know, now he's going to judge this elitist, global elite system. And his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. What did we see Israel do back in 586 BC time? Refused to repent of their deeds, despite the word of God saying, if you repent, I will call off the judgment of Babylon. You will live. This city will stay intact. The temple will not be destroyed. If you don't repent, all that's going to happen. What did the Jews do? The Jews, with their history of the knowledge of the prophets and the history of the God of Israel, they did not repent. What do we have to do? Repent. I mean, we're saved. We've repented. If you're a believer in here today, we've repented and are giving our lives to God. But we can still rebel, and we should always have the attitude, God, help me. I want to turn away from that thing that's contrary to you, because I love you, because I know your law is good. And we should just not be like the rest of the world. Anyway, in the tribulation period, imagine this. There's going to be angels, Revelation 14. Angels are flying in the sky because all the Christians are dead. The Christians were taken off the world. The people that are believing in Jesus are getting beheaded by the Antichrist. So there's nobody to witness. God sends angels saying, don't worship the Antichrist. Worship him who created the heavens and the earth. And you better not take that mark of the beast. You take the mark of the beast, you're going to the lake of fire. People are going to be seeing angels flying around the earth, communicating that in every tribe and tongue and language. The angels are speaking in tongues to everybody on the face of the earth. And a lot of people are going to listen. Most people are going to say, just because an angel said it, they're not going to do it. We really are kind of messed up as people, don't you think? And we just can't join the rest of the world in not repenting and just have that attitude and call people to repentance while there's still time, because there is not much time. We are approaching the last of the last days. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would just help us to truly live to serve you, God, and warn. And we, just like Jeremiah, you told him to warn, and he probably says, why? They don't listen. But some did. Lord, we know that some of the people did. And we know that some are still here on earth that want to listen before this world is plunged into a time of chaos and calamity like the world has never seen, according to you, Jesus, who warned us 2,000 years ago that that would be the case in the last days. So we pray that you would help us to keep our eyes on you, to love you ever so deeper, and to be intimate with you, God, to know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You've given us everlasting life by your divine hand of suffering on our behalf on the cross so that we could be forgiven. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God. As we look around, it'd be pretty depressing if you didn't know that fact, because this is a crazy world. But be of good cheer. He's overcome. He's going to take us out of this place, or we're going to die and go be with him. In either case, we're going to spend eternity with our Creator because he loves us. And we decided to love him. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.